The word Hanny will forever be associated with Stacey Lane Matthews from RuPaul's Drag Race because she's so sweet. One of the perennial meme queens, folks still can't get enough of the image of Stacey Lane sneaking a photo with her cell phone at the taping of the Drag Race finale.
Stacey Lane Matthews is making some fun cameo appearances on Drag Race All-Stars as the leader of an all-girl group, as a court stenographer, and as a weeping widow at Lady Bunny's funeral. You may even see her this Friday in a yet undisclosed role.
Today, the queen of Hanny herself, Stacey Lane Matthews, joins us to kiki about All-Stars 4, Drag Race's 10-year anniversary, the Her Story of Drag Queen merchandise, touring with Jasmine Masters, and why toxic fans who attack people on social media are ruining it for everyone.
Plus, what really happened between Rue, Shangela, and Mimi on Season 3.
And what does the term at-large mean for pageant girls? I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Hanny.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people like you. Thank you. Right now, we need your help. After many years of creating podcasts and videos you love, our dear computer can't take it anymore and is ready to go to the great big recycling bin in the sky. It is heartbreaking to be in this situation.
Visit GoFundMe.com/FeastOfFunComputer right now and give any amount. Help us reach our goal of saving the show's podcasting computer. Every dollar you give goes directly into making Feast of Fun last for years to come. We know we can count on you to make a big difference and continue the show. Thank you for loving Feast of Fun.
Thank you very much. Once again, the link is GoFundMe.com/FeastOfFunComputer.
Nope.
Is that your trade voice?
Yeah, what's up, man?
What are you up to? I just want to do some bro stuff today, okay? None of that gay shit, all right?
Yeah, let's do it.
I didn't realize Stacey Lynn Matthews is so butch when the cameras aren't rolling.
Honey, yes, honey. That is.
Hi. Hold on a second. Hi, honey. Where does the honey come from? That's your trademark. That's your catchphrase. And we know it from your appearance on the third season of RuPaul's Drag Race. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of just like a word we use around like where I'm from, because like we're really country and I don't know. It's just a different twist on honey.
But is it intentional, like spelled H-E-N-N-Y? Or is that just later on the fans sort of like latched onto that and started saying?
I don't know. I don't think it was like intentional, but kind of just happened that way.
That's just they were latching onto the way you were pronouncing the word honey on the show.
Yeah.
And then you're like, hey, baby, now I own that word and you have to pay me a royalty. Well, it's the 10-year anniversary of RuPaul's Drag Race, and I can't think of somebody more fitting than Miss Hanny Heaney herself, Stacey Lane Matthews.
I know.
They decided to bring you back for All-Stars 4.
Yeah.
What was that like when you got the call?
Well, it was weird because I thought I was actually on the show. So.
Well, you were on the show.
As a contestant.
I mean, like, as a contestant. I was prepared to compete because that's what I thought I was doing.
Yeah.
But then, last minute, they told me that I wasn't part of the show. So, they still wanted to use me, so.
Well, so that was kind of disappointing, huh?
It was very disappointing, honey.
Hmm.
Did you, like, try to sabotage the contestants?
No,
like, honey. Like, I'm on a show you would not let me compete on All-Stars 4.
Well, it was nice, though, to see you because you were not on just one episode. You were on two episodes, at least so far, right?
I think it's more than two.
It was about three or four.
Was it?
Yeah.
They came out and they did a song, right? You were in the girl group with them. You played the court stenographer brilliantly, I may add.
Lady Bunny's funeral.
Lady Bunny's funeral. She's not really dead. You know that, right?
Boy, yeah.
Sorry to break the news to everybody.
And there might be something this week on Drag Race. So.
Just maybe, right?
Just maybe.
Honey, we got a big fried chicken bucket of Stacey Lynn Matthews this season.
Mm-hmm.
I know it matters for you to compete, but in terms of like your career, the fact that we're seeing you and talking about you, that also is a real positive thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it would have been great to, like, be part of the actual show. But, I mean, I guess people still get a little dose of me because it's been so long since I was sitting there with you, like, doing Feast of Fun.
Aww.
It was a while back.
You were here in the home studio back in 2011. You came in with Mimi I'm First and India Farah.
India
back
Farah.
When she was still doing drag. I think she quit after that, right? Well, she probably got India. She quit for a while, but then got back into it. You know, it's one of those drag race or drag queen drama posts. I'm quitting drag. I'm done with it. And then like 2 weeks later, they're back up in the gig. We like to tease her about it.
You know, ever since you came on the show back then, anytime I eat some fried chicken, we talk about what you said, the transitioning through the fried chicken diet.
The fast food.
Do you remember
from
that?
Grilled to fried.
So somebody was asking, they were asking about your identity as a trans woman and how did that like manifest itself? And you say, honey, this is all me. All I've done is just transition through the fast food diet.
Well, that's funny. Like since 2011, I got tired of like the labels and this and that. People keep asking me, you know, how do you identify? And I keep telling them, you know, I'm just myself. I don't want to be, you know, considered this or that. I just want to, you know, just live my life without having to put a label on it.
Some would say that that's kind of like non-binary.
Honey, it ain't got a name, honey. It ain't got a name.
Well, why do you feel that like someone asking you to describe your gender and sexual identity is limiting to you?
Because it kind of puts you in a box, in a category, and I don't want to be in a category, honey. I just want to live. That's all I want. I want to be successful. I want to be just, you know, whoever. I mean, I just get tired of people putting me in a box.
Do you feel like as an artist, they put you in a box as well?
Well, yeah, because they're like, there's only a handful of big girls from Drag Race, so they kind of put us in that little box, and then they put us in another box with the girls who don't like dance and jump around and do splits and kicks.
Mm. Well, fuck them. Well, honey, it's not about the box, it's about the platter, honey. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the side dishes.
You're making me hungry, honey. You better stop.
What are you eating today?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you prefer smoked ham or honey baked ham?
Always the honey baked ham.
Now, do you drink your tea with milk and sugar or just with honey?
Oh, we don't put milk and tea around here, huh?
No. just honey.
Oh, blasphemy.
If you got married, where would you go on your honeymoon?
Stop it.
Chicago. All right.
And if RuPaul is the queen bee, what does her honey taste like?
Fried chicken.
So one question a lot of people are asking drag queens right now is, what impact has the TV show had that we're not seeing? That like, you know, everybody's like, oh, there's a resurgence in drag and we're seeing more people like comfortable with cross-dressing. You're seeing a lot of young people like setting out to be drag queens, not because they want to live their best life or not because they're rebelling against society, because they see this as the same thing as going to acting school or business school and getting a degree and charisma, uniqueness, nerve and talent.
I think it not just gave like the gay community a voice. I think a lot of straight people watch the show and it kind of gives them a better understanding of, you know, the lifestyle and the art of drag. And so, you know, they can stop asking us questions and they can just watch the show and just trying to, you know, kind of get an idea of what we do and how, you know, how important drag is to not just the gay community, but to the world, honey.
Well, Mark says that before the internet, when you told somebody you were gay, they would ask you, what do you do in the bedroom?
Mm.
Nobody asks you that anymore.
Mm-mm.
What kind of question as a drag queen did people ask you? Because you've been doing drag at least a decade before Drag Race even came on TV. What question as a drag queen did they ask you then that they don't seem to ask you anymore now?
Do you want to be a woman? Like, I've always been a woman, honey. I'm just putting on a little bit more makeup.
So your conservative family in Back Swamp, North Carolina, what's your relationship with them now after so many appearances on television?
I don't know. It's a little weird. That's a complicated subject, honey. I mean, because a lot of my family, they're supportive, but it's not like they're walking around wearing my merch, you know?
Are they too cheap to buy it or what?
No, it's just, well, I have merch that says Taste the Henny. And a lot of my relatives didn't want to wear it because of what it said, you know? And I have like honey coming out of my mouth. So it kind of looks like other things.
So your grandma doesn't want to wear a t-shirt that insinuates drinking sperm.
Probably not.
That's the thing. It's like I used to have one t-shirt that was merch back in 1993 that said cock is cool. And I remember being so hurt and sad that my mother or my father wouldn't wear it. And now I'm like looking at that. And I was like, maybe that probably wasn't such a best. It sold.
You said
93. Yeah.
And this was your merch?
That was my merch, honey.
In 1993. Because Kurt Cobain had just said, like, oh, somebody asked him if he was gay or not. And he was just like, oh, cock is cool.
It's the 90s, man. Cock is cool.
Cock is cool.
But then they didn't sell too well because it's a hard shirt to wear out in public. So we held on to them. But then, you know, when the internet came around, we first started podcasting. I'm like, let's try and sell these. So we ended up selling t-shirts for like $80. And they sold.
Work, honey.
You know, somebody who was really late to the game with merch is RuPaul herself. Like, you cannot find original supermodel t-shirts or bumper stickers or coffee mugs, you know? And I even remember, like, one of the first queens to show me merch was Sharon Needles was trying to push not t-shirts, but beer cozies.
Beer what?
Beer koozies. Like those foam things to keep the beer cold. And I was like, I don't know if those are going to sell so well.
She probably got them done at like CafeExpress.com.
Do you remember, like, what was your first earliest merch that you sold as a queen?
Well, just the 8x10s. I didn't get t-shirts until last year. Like I waited all this time because, you know, I wasn't really into whole merch thing and. I don't know, because like the first drag con, I didn't even have t-shirt.
Well, carrying all that merchandise is really, you know, physically demanding, and it's another suitcase. And then people are like looking at it, and then they're like, well, I'll just buy it online. And, you know, how much is it? Yeah.
Do you have it in a tank? Right. If you had it in a tank top, I would buy it in a tank top. Oh, we do have it in a tank top. Oh, okay. And then they just walk away. They're always an excuse not to buy the merch.
Girl.
If this was in blue, I would get it. Oh, blue's right here. Oh.
I don't know, but I would say actually there's a huge appetite for, I mean, you know, I always say white people and t-shirts, they love people. Like, you go to Urban Outfitters and they'll pay, like, you know, $80 for just a plain t-shirt. So there is a especially in urban environments, there's a cachet, there's an appeal to a t-shirt that jeans or a jacket or a pin or a hat just doesn't have.
And if you ever hook up with a bear, the bears always want to leave the t-shirt. It's if you go to a bear party.
Would you pay $80 for a t-shirt?
Would I? It depends on what kind of t-shirt it is.
I would never. I don't know. Maybe it's just like.
If it had my face on it, of course.
No, I like, would you I pay like $80 for a drag glitter. Race?
Yeah. No. Well, maybe. Yeah, no.
Maybe.
I don't. We get them for free most of the time, so I'm not the right person to ask about that. You know, usually
who would you pay $80 for?
I would pay $80 for a vintage 1992 RuPaul supermodel T-shirt that had glitter on it, because I feel like with when the T-shirt has glitter, it you can charge $10 more for it. Mm-hmm. It has, you know, and I'm like, we actually pioneered the use of diamond-based glitter inks, which is a very different process. A lot of T-shirts usually have a laminate plastic, and those don't hold up well in washes. The glitter T-shirts that we have are actually crushed up actual glitter made to be silk screen on a shirt, and there's a special industrial glue that holds it down onto the fabric, but allows it to be washed and allows it to stay and shine on the shirt. So what, like what we're doing on, like for the Cooking with Drag Queens or the I'm Not an Evil Queen, I Just Got a Bad Edit T-shirt. Those are actually actual breathable glitter shirts. And so like you go to Drag Con and you see a lot, you know, there is a lot of cool stuff being done right now in the drag queen merch verse. But I think, like, I would like to see more experimentation with it.
My favorite drag queen T-shirt is Lady Bunny's T-shirt that she sells that was done by Michael Economy, who did the work on the album for Delight's first album, I guess.
And it was the second one.
Yeah. Oh, because what I love about it is just, you know, it's just kind of her big head and her little body on there. Surprise, surprise. It just says Lady Bunny. So it's simple. And then another one that I had that I absolutely adored was Peaches Christ had one. And it was her as, like, the evil queen from Snow White. But it was kind of a hard T-shirt to wear because it's her, and people like immediately see like that face, and they're like, "Oh, this is cool." And then they look down a little bit, and then they see that Peaches is holding a platter with Martini's head on it, another drag queen's head on it, and so people are like, "Please buy it." Then they look down, and then they're shocked and horrified. And unfortunately, I lost that T-shirt. But the one that I loved and I had for years, but I actually hated wearing, was the one from Manila Luzon. I love her as a queen. God rest her soul on All Stars season 4.
Moment of silence.
Okay, moment of silence. It just said, "I love Manila." And then so you're walking, you're wearing it around, and then people are like asking you about the Philippines and stuff. And I'm like, I've never been in the Philippines. Some drag queen just gave
it's
this to
one
me.
L, not two L's.
Yeah.
I didn't hear my T-shirt in there anywhere.
I don't think you gave me one.
Well, besides your own T-shirt, like, what are some, like, what was the first T-shirt you ever bought that was like associated with a band or like a rock concert or movie?
That I'm not really into like graphic tees and all that.
But was there ever a moment in your life that you were just like, "Ooh, I'm so excited to get the Pac-Man Fever T-shirt"?
No, never. I was more into like electronics and
well, like a video game. Even like if you're a fan of a video game, did you ever buy a poster or anything like that? Or
not really. Really, honey, I'm from the country, and we play outside.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, honey.
What is Back Swamp like? I mean, is it, how small of a town is that?
And how swampy is it?
It's not a town. It's just, like, an area. Like, there's no, like, high-rises. It's just, like, let's see. Maybe, let's just say you left outside of Chicago, and you went to where there were no houses really, and there was maybe a house here and there. That would be Back Swamp.
That would, we'd have to go to Wisconsin for something like that.
Yeah. Well, and so for you growing up in Back Swamp and then later on starting to do drag shows, I imagine that you must have driven to a city nearby to what was that city?
It was Fayetteville, which is a military town, and that was like 45-minute drive.
What was your first lip sync performance like?
My first song I ever done was Baby Boy by Beyonce, the remix version.
Baby boy, you're so damn fine. Fulfill my fantasies. I think about you all the time. I see you in my dreams.
I had on some blue jean capris with some black boots, honey.
Hot.
And this little black top that I had made that was not super glued. It was hot glue together.
But that's how you have to do it sometimes. Drag is you just, you make it any which way you can, right?
I wish I had photos of that day.
every moment of our lives now is documented because we carry these phones with cameras on them. You know, for a lot of drag queens to go back 20 or 30 years, you'd be lucky there's a photograph of you doing a show, much less a video.
Mm-hmm. Are you like a picture, like a person that takes pictures a lot?
I do. And even then, it's more of other people than myself, you know? So like any time I've ever stumbled across video footage of me in the 90s performing in drag, to me, I just get really like happy about it. But I also notice that people tend to judge you on today's standards of what everybody was doing like 30 years ago. And there's this footage of Lady Bunny performing at the first Wigstock. And she looks absolutely nothing like Lady Bunny today, even then.
Was she a brunette? Mm-hmm.
Yes. She had her blonde look, but her wig was shake and go, you know? Yeah.
And her makeup really hasn't changed all that much, though.
But like a lot of drag queens were very flat in their makeup. We did very little contouring. But the pageant girls did the contouring.
Oh, yeah, honey. I think, like, as far as like really glammed up drag, you would go to like Texas or North Carolina, Florida. But, you know, when you go to other states, they're a little bit more adventurous and like different types of drag. But I think North Carolina and Texas and Florida are kind of like the pageant states.
For sure. And they were doing contouring for a long, long time. And then I think it hopped over to Instagram with the Kardashians, and then all the other drag queens started picking up on it too, right?
But I remember in theater school, because being taught contouring by the makeup, classes in the drama department. And I thought, this is ridiculous.
It makes a difference, though.
This is gross and weird. And like, I just, I was remembered being very,
ignorant.
Just looking at it. And I'm like, what is this going to do? This is to make yourself look like an old woman or like a fat man or like a,
are you talking about contouring?
Yeah.
It has to give you depth.
But the way that drag entertainers use contouring today, the way we think about drag, is to make your face as beautiful, as feminine, as round as possible. And that's a very different thing than the way, you know, actors were using contouring in the 80s and 90s.
Well, it's different because I contour heavier when I'm doing like something that I'm doing on stage. But if I'm just going out, then I'm not putting all that doo-doo brown on my forehead, you know?
But that's not, you know, I've seen sometimes with some drag queens, they just basically paint a big black smudge underneath their chins to make look like their faces are floating in midair.
That's funny.
Now, you said one of the hardest things to perform is Jennifer Holliday's "And I'm Telling You" from Dreamgirls. Are you talking about like singing that or just lip syncing it?
I would say singing it live because, you know, I've lip synced it 1,000 times, but I had to retire it, honey. I wore that song out too many times. So
I think it's one of the most important songs to sing, to perform in terms of like drag culture.
I think if you're a drag queen, you have to do that song at least once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can like see what actual lip syncing is all about.
Well, anytime I've ever seen Jennifer Holliday performing it today, she's always just like, oh, God, kill me. And that's kind of fun to see, like, Jennifer Holliday reluctantly singing the song, but once she starts getting into it, she still got it.
Uh-huh. Have you seen that video of her, like, breathing in the right before the high note? It's just her breathing. It's like a minute of her.
Now, you famously did Monique for your snatch game on season 3 of Drag Race. Have you been following Monique's career? Or have you been seeing what's like gone down with the whole Precious thing and her fight with Lee Daniels and Oprah and who's the other one she's fighting with? The Tyler Perry?
Oh, yeah.
She's what is the whole Tyler Perry thing? What's that?
Well, I think he was kind of involved in pushing the whole Precious thing and I think that he's part of the group that is quote unquote blackballing her in Hollywood.
Well, here's what at the core of this is that Monique did Precious at scale, like for nothing. and Precious became a hit film. And at the time, they were expecting her to, out of her own pocket, travel Europe to promote the film. And she saw that other actors involved in the film and media personalities were being compensated for it. And she said, why am I not? I'm one of the stars of the film. She asked for that. And Oprah, Tyler Perry, and Lee Daniels responded by blackballing her. And, she, you know, like, there's a lot of people in Hollywood and who is are very much in support of Monique. And, you know, then later on, Monique came forward and said that Netflix was lowballing her. Or I guess, you know, that
they offered her $250,000 for something
ridiculously low amount of money for a comedy special. And so she feels like she's being penalized by this Hollywood establishment for just simply asking to be for an airplane ticket in a hotel room and her time compensated for doing press for the film Precious.
For a show she won a fucking Oscar for. I guess she didn't even really need to. She didn't even really need to do the press because she got the Oscar anyway, right?
Yeah. Well, she got the Oscar, and then they were asking her to do the
the
press, and that's what happened and stuff. But it's I don't know. I'm just curious to know like how you feel about because you did a one woman show about Monique for a while.
Yeah, it was just it's a mock version of her her talk show, but we called it the Ho Monique Show.
What was it called?
The Ho Monique. That was a good time.
What happened to the show? Because I didn't get to see it.
What do you mean? What do you mean? What happened
in your Ho Monique show?
Why are we not doing it?
No. Like what was it? Were you interviewing people? Were you? It was monologues, comedy, or?
Yeah, well, I had different guests like Mimi. I'm first. I had some impersonators, Sarah Palin impersonator. I had Judy Garland and Liza Minnelli impersonators. Amanda Lepore was on there. Randy Jones from The Village People.
Oh, how fun.
Just different people. I actually interviewed myself via Skype.
Did you have any trick questions for yourself? Any gotcha journalism there?
I sang a little bit on there. So I got to show people because I have never really done live vocals in drag because I'm very critical, honey. We already know this. Like before I was doing drag, I was doing theater, so but I'm very critical of my voice and I rarely sing live in drag, so but I gotta get over that.
There's no time like the present. You're also became like a internet meme too because you were at the taping of one of the reunion shows for which season was it? Season 8, 9?
I think it was season 8. Yeah,
season 8. And you're in the audience and you've got your phone out and it looks like you're taking a picture or something. And that just blew up everywhere. What was going on? What were you taking a photo of or filming or something?
You know what's funny? They hadn't even started the show yet. This was actually the pre-show, and I was filming that little Shangela and T.S. Madison when they were doing that little opening thing.
Oh, I don't know anything about it.
They did a musical number together.
Oh, they did? Yeah. T.S. Madison and Shangela?
Yeah.
Oh, that must have been fun.
It was Shangela, Alyssa Edwards, and Sonique was there, and a few other girls, but that's what I was filming. Because I obviously wouldn't film during the actual show. So they kind of made me look like I was breaking the rules. I think that was what made it funny. But I turned it into merch, honey.
Oh, you did? What, is it on a t-shirt now or what?
Yeah, I had this guy do an illustration, Kevin Cakebread, on Instagram. He done an illustration of it.
Where do they get your merch? Is it StacyLaneMatthews.com?
No, it's actually elitequeens.com. Chicago.
Oh, that's we had the guy who runs that on the podcast many years ago.
Anthony,
yes. Anthony DeFiore. Super cute.
He's hot.
He's hot, honey.
Some people are saying that, and this is to me, I don't know if this is, there's any gravity to this because there's always going to be, you know, rotten apples. The fans of Drag Race, the racist fans, the bully fans, the mean fans are ruining it for everyone.
The trolls.
Yeah. I'm kind of like, you know, there are some forums and websites and stuff that just are best just, you know, to block and delete and move on. But, you know, is that really like ruining the experience of Drag Race for other people?
It is, like, because if you scroll through Facebook, there's like, oh man, spoiler alert. And it's like, if you don't want to know what happened on Drag Race, then don't get on Facebook. And it shouldn't be that way. People should just let people, you know, experience it as it's happening or as soon as they can watch it. And then people want to talk about it on Facebook, and especially with different time zones.
Well, it is interesting because people get on social media, like when, you know, like some people are even like mad about the Super Bowl that they TiVo'd it. They recorded it on their TV sets. And then they're mad because people are like on social media talking about like, my team won. Woo. And I'm like, but, you know, when it's on the front page of a newspaper, it's like the election night results and being mad at finding out that you were waiting to watch the recorded version. I don't know. It to me, it's like, it is a competition. And so when the competition, when the results of the competition are out, people are going to want to talk about it. So if you really don't want that spoiled, I would definitely stay off of social media because you can't control what everybody on the planet is going to do.
And you know what? I just think there's much more to life than social media. And so I think if that's an opportunity to put your phone down, honey, and enjoy life for a little bit.
Walk and children in nature.
Yes. So I was eat a snack.
I was just looking at your Facebook feed, and you wrote on the 28th that you made out with two girls tonight. Does that make me a lesbian? Girl, what's happening? What's the verdict?
They were cute. They were two little, like, chubby white girls, and they were, like, really pretty. And I was just sitting outside the bar, and we were talking about, like kissing, and she kissed the guy, and I was like, oh my god, I feel left out. And so she's like, oh, you want some too? And then she came over and kissed me, and then the other girl kissed me. I was like, oh god, I'm a lesbian. Because I kind of enjoyed it.
So you liked it. She was a good kisser. Well, women seem to have, they have softer lips than men, typically.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That happened to me too one time, and I was like, when I made out with the woman, I was just like, this is so strange, kissing somebody who doesn't have facial hair.
Right?
You know, I'm like, where's the man?
Do they have to have facial hair to be a man?
Well, they identified and presented as female. And to me, it was like a very, you know, even a young twink is going to have some sort of some stubble, some growth there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess the question is, like, you know, if someone has facial hair and a tough lips, does that make them male? And I guess gender is anything you want it to be, but, you know, certainly, like, when I was kissing, it was this really hot guy and his girlfriend, and they were, like, fans of mine, and I was trying to get with a guy, and they were like, oh, I want to kiss Faustina, so I kissed a girl knowing that the boyfriend would want to kiss me, too, so he could say that he had kissed me. And it was like, and I noticed
so scandalous.
This, well, you know, and I know some of the queens, like they use the drag or their fame. It was like, because drag is also sometimes like you're breaking down society's rules. So then people sort of feel more comfortable to break down their own rules.
Mm-hmm.
And then so they're more willing to, you know, do things and try things with you that they normally wouldn't do.
Yeah. There's so many like people out there that are trying, you know, to sleep with the Drag Race girls, or, and there's many Drag Race girls who, you know, make it a point to sleep with the fans, honey. And
honey, I'm not one Nasha of them, Lopez, so. She don't fuck ugly. I said it to Nasha Lopez. I was like, girl, just throw me your leftovers. And all the men she's with are just these hunks, gorgeous, glorious men.
Mm-hmm. I think I was in Ohio, and I was booked with LaNesha. Was it LaNesha Sparks?
Uh-huh.
And I saw somebody on Grindr. I was in my hotel room, and I was like, oh, what's up, daddy? You trying to meet up? And she was like, sis. I didn't realize it was, I didn't realize it was La Nation. She's like, girl, it's me.
So
I have to stay off of there, honey.
Have there ever been like any of the contestants from Drag Race ever like been romantically interested in each other? I do know that last season one of the top three girls was dating Miss Vanjie. That was a rumor. Yeah. The one with the lips who had the somewhat muscular body.
Cameron Michaels?
Cameron Michaels Cameron? And Miss Vanjie were rumored to be dating, but that might have been just something they started just to get people talking. But I don't know if there's ever been any contestants that met on the show or met as a result of the show that fell in love with each other or are sexually active with each other. Racer, chaser, chasers.
I have no desire to be with any Drag Race girl, so you ain't got to worry about me, honey.
Sister Dick will make you sick. Is that what's happening?
I need a man, Hunter.
I need a man. Perhaps a man like you.
Not a part-time woman.
But maybe you could be like Shania Twain. Man, I feel like a woman.
Don't. You ever heard that song, Don't? By Shania Twain.
No, can you sing a little bit for us?
Huh?
don't you hear it? Stacey doesn't like to sing.
Wow.
Oh, honey, I had a long night. I can't right now.
What'd you do last night?
I went to karaoke. Yeah, I sang like 4 songs.
Congratulations on being appointed Miss Gay US of A Southeast at large. And in charge. How'd you get that
I'm
title?
So excited.
Because I know one of those at large titles, that means they just handed you the crown. What did you do?
No.
Yes, that's what it means, doesn't it?
No.
What's the at large mean?
It's just a plus size pageant.
That's not what at large
means. At large does not mean you're plus size.
That means.
Yes, it is.
No, it doesn't.
Girl.
So would they, is this a new pageant?
Hold on. I don't think you guys understand the pageant system.
I don't think you understand the pageant system.
At large is for plus size girls.
Are you sure?
I thought
at large just meant that you were given the title because like whoever did it wasn't able to fulfill their duties, or maybe it's
honey,
I think that's what it is. Yeah.
No, sweetie, honey, I'm telling you, I do pageants. There's at large, there's plus. US of A large is for girls who are 220 pounds.
I'm going to gayusofalarge.com, and all the girls are thick and juicy.
But at large, though, like, what's the difference between at large and continental plus? Like, you have plus, you don't have Miss Continental.
Because it's just the name of that system.
So different systems use different terms and words.
Okay.
Is what I'm guessing here.
All right. So,
what our understanding is that some of the pageants, when the queen has been given an honorary title, or she is a default title holder but didn't compete, they use the term at large.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like the Gay US of A
pageant. Who uses that?
Well, I don't have the list on front off the top of my head, but I think a lot of pageants that I've heard of in the South have used that. But it looks like Gay US of A.
No, that is not the case at all.
Right. Yeah, because I've had friends who were appointed, the queen of the pageant because it's a new pageant, or the person that did it.
That's, that would be Emeritus, honey.
No. Okay. All right.
Emeritus?
Emeritus.
Emeritus.
Emeritus, yes.
Well, maybe that, maybe, yeah, I think we have it wrong.
No.
Folks, let the public speak.
Oh, this is going to be an argument, honey.
This is a hot tea here.
Okay.
Well, let me tell you this. I was not appointed. I competed against 5 other girls.
And you're the shortest one with the tallest crown.
Yeah.
In this photo, your crown is stacks over all the other contestants, which is really cute.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like a little nugget of goodness.
I just messaged Cece LaRouge. I'm going to Natasha Douglas.
You guys are terrible. Galaxy Knight wants to know, what's your favorite brand of ranch dressing? I know this is a stupid question, but
I know she loves ranch, and I love ranch dressing myself.
Mm-hmm. I'm still stuck on this at large, honey.
Kennedy Monroe.
I think you need to put a status on there and ask people.
Yes.
Okay.
Honey, the internet has spoken. We'll when we post the show, we will ask for the final word. What does the term at large mean?
Because I have never heard of that, what you just told me.
Well, why would they call you? Why? I mean, do something. You are a large person.
Yeah,
but why would they call you at large?
Because there's different sections of the pageant. Just like you have US of A, you have US of A at large, you have US of A Classic, which is for girls who are over 40.
You don't say old, you say classic.
Yes.
Natasha Douglas is for the heavy girls, for the big girls.
So we had it wrong for all this time.
But that's what somebody told me, I swear to God.
Well, they're wrong. I need their name and number, honey.
Yeah, we're going to call them up. So.
Because just like.
Yeah.
Because you have Continental, you have Continental Plus, you have Continental Elite.
Okay.
And what does the Elite stand for?
It's just like for older girls. You have it for older girls. You have it for the big girls. Okay. You have it for regular sized girls. What but fat girls can do it too.
Skinny girls that you want to push aside and say, here's your crown, Henny.
That would be at small. At small.
So Natasha's like a Maritas. Yeah. Okay.
So Mark, what do you have to say?
I'm still.
It's hard for my husband to admit he's wrong about something.
I'm happy to admit I'm wrong because it's like, but like that's how it was explained to me.
Okay.
Okay.
So moving on, ranch dressing, hard news.
I'll tell you what I don't like. I do not like wishbone. I don't like.
No, wishbone's garbage.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, she's. I mean, Natasha Douglas is calling me.
That thing. Stay focused, Mark. Come on.
I don't know. I think I like a lot of off-brand stuff because I think it tastes better.
Mm. I'm a fan of the Hidden Valley Ranch. You know, the first original that's still the best.
Yeah, I think it's the Hidden Valley I like. Kraft, I don't like.
It's a secret place where the kids eat their vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever go to Outback?
The steakhouse?
Yeah.
What about it?
They have the best ranch.
Oh, really? What is it that makes it so tangy?
I don't know. It's so creamy and delicious.
Are you a fan of putting ranch dressing on things that don't go on them? One of them is the most unusual thing I've ever seen is ranch dressing on ice cream.
I would never do that.
And that sounds to me very off-putting. But most people like their ranch dressing on their, you know, carrot sticks, on their wings, on salads.
On a pizza.
What's like the strangest thing you've ever put ranch dressing on? Bacon.
Chicken and rice.
That sounds interesting, actually. I heard that you can actually put ranch salad dressing as a marinade to a chicken and then bake it in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
But the sour cream and the mayonnaise in it actually is very good. For making the chicken nice and tender.
Well, the mayonnaise is good. I don't know about the ranch on there.
You know what I like in my spaghetti?
Ranch.
Thousand Island.
You like Thousand Island on spaghetti?
Mm-hmm. It's so good.
So that's mayo, ketchup. What else is in there? Horseradish pickles. Or something?
I think it's pickles. Some kind of pickle.
I know a lot of people want to know about like All Stars 4, but one question that we never get to hear about, and since you're such a foodie, what's the food like on the set of RuPaul's Drag Race like?
It was a lot of like chicken dishes and like tacos from El Pollo Loco and Baja Fresh, burritos, honey, stuff we shouldn't have been eating.
Oh, you shouldn't be eating those things because it gets you bloated or something? Or
yeah, like all full and shit.
Well, that's kind of like the tell, how you can tell who's done really well on Drag Race and how long they've stayed on there, because they usually come home a little thicker than, you know, the girls who get home sent early, like, they remain the weight they were, but the people that stayed on longer gain weight. Like Bob said, he gained like 30 pounds taping Drag Race.
While Miss Badgie is nice and skinny.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But I
well,
don't know.
She's like, still so got 11.
What about for breakfast? Is it like the hotel, you know, cafeteria, or is it like...
When I was there, like, we had opportunities to eat at the hotel, but, honey, I was trying to get my sleep in. But when we would come to set, they would have maybe a couple pieces of fruit, but then some girls were eating potato chips, so it was just like, mm-hmm. there was no, like, real breakfast.
A lot of people talk about Jasmine Masters famously, instead of packing a suitcase of drag, packed a suitcase of cold cuts, bread, hot sauce, mayonnaise.
Well, she'll be down the street. She could do that.
Oh, that's right. Never thought about that.
Oh.
She brought RuPaul famously is like, where did the loaf of bread come from? In one episode.
She probably drove to set, honey.
So the California girls, they have a bit of an advantage, huh?
Mm-hmm. I wish I could drive to Drag Race.
It would take you 3 or 4 days to get across country, but...
I was on tour with Jasmine in UK, and she brought that hot sauce, honey, because she heard about UK not having the best food, or, like, nothing. Everything wasn't seasoned right or something, so...
British food is not known for being outstanding when it comes to seasonings.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Because we found Domino's, honey, and we were, like, eating Domino's.
Well, you and Jasmine are some of the most viral queens from the show, who, despite, mm-hmm. you know, your sort of brief appearances on the series, everybody still talks a lot about.
Yeah, well, I would consider us the meme queens.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think it's just the way people... I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. That's part of the reason I'm asking you, because it's like, to me, it seems sometimes arbitrary. They like your sincerity.
We don't try to be anything we're not. Just like Vanessa, Vanjie, she don't try to be anything else but Vanessa. Jasmine's always got something to say, and I'm always just like, girl, whatever, not bothered. And people will, like, they love to sit there at their computers and create these memes, and they share them, and then all of a sudden everybody's seen it. And just like, sometimes I'll answer my messages on Facebook, and it'll be a relative of mine or somebody I went to high school with, and they're like, oh my God, is this you? And I'm like, yeah, girl. She's like, I didn't realize you had your own memes, or you had your own GIFs. Is it GIFs or GIFs? I don't know. But
doesn't matter.
I think choosy moms choose GIF.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that how it is?
Well, according to the guy who invented it.
GIF.
So what's in the future for you?
Well, right now I'm preparing for that pageant that we took
What
Miss U.S. of A at Large.
Oh, the gay U.S. of A of Large.
But you already won it.
No, I won the prelim.
Oh, for Southeast. So now you're going for the big title, for the main title.
Yes. The nation.
Oh, okay.
Who the current reigning is Shavonna Brooks, which is, she lives down in Atlanta. So.
But do the queens feel like you have an unfair advantage since you were on television?
No, honey, they judge us harder. Ask Alexis, which I am.
Because she tried, she did Continental this year, was it? Or last year or something? Or what is she doing?
Alexis?
Yeah.
She's been a national showgirl. She's been All-American Goddess. She's been, what was the other one? Something she just won. She just won Florida America. She just won Florida FFI. She's winning it, honey.
You know, she didn't get the crown on RuPaul's Drag Race, so, she, you know, snatch up all those other crowns.
I remember, like, researching all the girls when I was cast on the show. And she was one of the people that I, like, would sit and just watch her videos.
Because
I wanted to be like her.
So when you got cast, you guys actually knew who was going to be on the show with you?
Well, you know, just looking up predictions, you know, you know how people like to share predictions.
Sure. Were you predicted to be on?
I was actually not predicted. I didn't see any of my pictures anywhere, like any of the predictions. I didn't see my name anywhere, so that was good.
This time around on All Stars 4, was it harder to be there in that environment when someone was sent home?
I think so. I mean, it's like if you're when you're on that stage, it's very stressful. Mm. But when I was on when I was doing the All Stars thing, I was like separate, always separate from all the other girls because they were doing their own thing, and
sure.
I was doing my own thing. So I didn't really get to see like eliminations and.
Well, I just did a reality TV show this past year, and I got to tell you, I was up for elimination the first time. So it was like, it was sad to see the other two people go, but then I was very happy for myself. And then I just kind of, and I knew every time somebody was going to go home, there was going to be some kind of emotion, and our crew was going to get smaller and smaller. So I just kept saying to myself, small is beautiful. That means you're making it farther along the way.
You know? Can you tell me what show it was or no?
It already aired. You can I'll send you a link if you want to watch it. But it's called Alt for Norge, and they take 12 Americans of Norwegian descent back to Norway, and they put us through challenges based on language, culture, and history. And if you want to see a good episode that really showcases my talent, find episode 7.
That's a good one. This is a weird question, but is Norwegian a language?
It is a language, yes. Actually, you know, Old Norsk and Old English were very similar languages.
Do you speak Norwegian?
Just a little bit.
He not don't too speak much. Nothing.
I speak a little. I can read some of it, and I can say a few things here and there.
Hola.
Come
estas.
Yeah, that's Spanish.
And I see like some of the drag queens get to Norway every now and then. They have big festivals there, and so I see some of them come up there for that. I think Vivacious goes there quite a bit. Peaches Christ goes there. Bianca Del Rio.
Can I go to Norway, honey?
It's not up to Mark.
It's not up to me. I didn't win the show, so I don't get to make any decisions about who gets to come in or out of Norway.
But the winner doesn't either.
I know, but you know, you can fantasize, right?
I think if Mark would have won, we would have just invaded that country. They didn't. They're. I would say this for Norway: be glad that Mark didn't win because you wouldn't have been able to handle it.
Why?
Because I think the person who won is lovely, Kelsey Jaffer. She's a musician. She's sort of like what Lady Gaga was before she became Lady Gaga. It's just a beautiful spirit. A great voice, great musician, a great actor, you know, just somebody who has an amazing future ahead of them. And so I can totally see why they would want somebody like, you know, Kelsey to win, she won fair and square.
She won fair and square because she beat all the challenges and stuff. And, but you know, I threw out my challenges.
My feeling with all reality TV shows is that, you know, even though you never know the outcome of it, you certainly can create challenges that draw on the strengths of the contestants. And so like, you know, like I think like, you know, having Bianca Del Rio rapping, for example, is a no brainer to show off her skills as a vocal talent, you know, as opposed to having her sing, you know? So, you know, when you see a reality TV show, you know, I would say there's a lot, if you want to go far on a show, your audition tape matters much more than you think it does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and certainly.
I sang in my audition tape.
You did?
And they got rid of me before the singing challenge.
Oh. Maybe that's why.
Mm-hmm. They were like, we got to get her out of here.
Well, maybe the thing is that had you been able to sing, it would have been harder to justify getting rid of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
So let's get rid of her now, honey.
Well, you know, it is somewhat a toss of the dice.
Yeah.
But I imagine that the producers look at everybody's suitcases and say, oh, well, since, you know, this candidate has a really weak, patriotic 4th of July costume, let's start off with that challenge.
Well, they didn't. They added that on because after we went home, they kind of reworked the show.
Yeah.
Because they sent us home for 3 weeks.
Oh, that's right. Because RuPaul was allegedly having some needed to take a break.
Well, it was because Shangela and Mimi got in a fight.
What?
The fight caused them to have a break for 3 weeks?
Yeah, because they didn't know what they needed to do.
What do you mean? Huh?
That's news to me.
Will you explain this to me? please.
What do you want to know?
So how did this come about? I mean, so there was a fight and they said we're stopping production?
Well, Mimi and Shangela got into the fight and you could see it on Untucked, but they didn't like actually air the actual fist fight. But they were like, well, we need to figure out what we're going to do about this situation, if we're going to kick you off or whatever. But
who threw the first punch?
I don't know. It happened so quick. I was like, what the hell is going on?
And so they put them in separate corners, and then they just said, we're taking a break from production because we don't know how to
iron out the legal issues.
Uh-huh.
So it had nothing to do with RuPaul's health.
So what Mimi told us was that they took almost a month break and sent everybody home because RuPaul had some kind of, I think she said it was a heart condition, and the studio wouldn't insure it unless she took some kind of break.
No.
Really? Mimi lied to us?
Maybe it's both.
Come on, Mimi. Because when they cut back to the main stage, mm-hmm. Look at Mimi's hair she's wearing. She's covering up her forehead because she has a big old where she was bleeding, where Shangela's nail scratched her in the forehead.
Oh my goodness, that is breaking. That is tea, honey.
Because I had if I remember correctly, I had blood on my arm.
You got involved in the fight?
No, I was just like in the vicinity trying to like stop it from happening, and I just got blood on my arm from Mimi's forehead.
Wow.
Unless I'm like completely delusional and if this didn't happen, I don't know.
Maybe it was a dream. It was all a dream.
No, it was. I just remember it being very dramatic. It was so dramatic. Oh my gosh.
Well, you know, it's like, it's jarring to see somebody get physically assaulted in front of you. You know, it's not a pleasant experience.
Cause like, if you watch the show, if you watch Untucked, and when she throws the drink, and you can hear me in the background going, oh, hold on now, that's when they were fighting.
Oh, wow.
It's one of the...
Oh, hold on now.
It's one of the greatest moments, because I'm not that kind of girl.
Because mm-hmm.
I'm what? Sickening.
Were they able to like make up, or is it just like there's no anything between them?
I don't know. I don't think they were ever like the closest of friends. But they should have aired it because that was good television, honey.
Yeah, I guess. I wonder why they chose not to.
I don't know. I guess they didn't want that image for Drag Race.
Well, I remember very viscerally responding to that moment and saying, this is more like women's prison than anything else.
Wow. No cell phones. No.
You were one of the Heathers of your season.
No, I was not.
You were not. Weren't you an honorary Heather? Didn't they at the reunion give you a Heather thing?
Yes. Honey.
What was going
on with
something.
That?
They felt it was Manila, Raja, Alexis Mateo.
No.
No.
Carmen
Carrera.
Manila, Raja, and Delta.
And Delta. They formed a little clique, and they call themselves the Heathers. And mm-hmm. the girls that weren't in their clique, they called the Boogers.
Mm-hmm.
And
Team Talent.
And they felt that later on was kind of a form of bullying, and they felt bad about it. So they felt bad, especially for scapegoating you, so they gave you the title of Honorary Heather.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you're now sort of looking back on it and feeling like, fuck you, bitches. I don't want your stupid title.
Well, you know what? The necklace turned my neck green, so I was like, sabotaged.
Oh, that cheap jewelry that'll turn you green, huh?
I was like, oh, I'm going to wear it every day. No.
They say one way to get rid of that is to cover it in clear nail polish, right? I think uh-huh. that's something that they yeah. say works for that. But, you know.
But still.
Do you want to know where the necklace is?
Where is it?
It is in Kissimmee, Florida, in my drag daughter's little glass case.
And anytime she wants to have Manila or Raja have back pain, she sticks a needle in it.
Mm-hmm. She uses it for voodoo.
At large.
At large. I cannot, I swear to God, I've had girls in the pageant system tell me that the at large means that they, I was like, oh, it's because you're plus size. And they're like, no, it means I was appointed because it's a new pageant.
No.
This is weird. I'm going to get to
I will debate this all day long, honey.
I'm going to get to the bottom of
this. This is like a train meeting a mountain and an unstoppable force.
Well, listen, she's involved in the immovable system. Object. I mean, I will defer to you, but I am going to get back to the people that told me that that's what that
Please
means.
Do. And
do you guys
tag
see that
me
Mark
in
is
it.
Not letting go of this?
Just we all need to know, here. Right?
And when this interview's over, he's going to be like, I was wrong.
Maybe. I feel like we even did that when we did our community bulletin. I feel like that was in there.
For a long time, we have understood at large being that there was a title. The holders, they were given the title, not the size of the contestant's body.
So this whole time you thought I was appointed?
Well, I thought maybe it was, yeah, why not? Why wouldn't you be appointed?
And you know? I am telling you,
I was appointed Miss Don't Hate Diva this year.
The Miss Don't Hate Diva?
Uh-huh.
And what kind of responsibilities do you have for that? What does that do? What I mean, is that a prelim for what?
I don't know, honey. I just got a sash. I haven't even received a crown, honey.
I was Miss High Heart Wearing Sashes 2014.
You were what?
I was Miss I Heart Wearing Sashes 2014.
Oh, God. I want to do that one.
Yeah, you got a sash and it says I Heart Wearing Sashes.
20 for the year. On the year.
I was an I Heart Wearing Sashes widow.
No, yours was I Heart Wearing Sashes 2 2014.
At large plus elite.
For Daphne and for me, it's definitely people are like, it's so nice to seeing big girls like you competing in this, and I'm like, why you were so supposed to be in the regular category?
I was appointed.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, SLM Stacey Lane Matthews, queen of the hay. It's a pleasure talking to you, always. Come to Chicago, honey. We need some...
She was just here on a secret pop-up show.
I was just
somewhere
there,
in Boys
honey.
Town. I'm sorry we missed you.
I know. Had I known, I would have come see you.
She couldn't tell anybody. It was a surprise.
Well, there
right?
was a surprise.
Surprise.
A surprise.
Sorpresa.
I was with Manila when she got eliminated.
Oh.
Put her back in the box.
She was... Manila was robbed, just
she,
so you know.
Did she cry?
She cried. She had a little tear in her eye.
But you know, if you're Naomi Smalls and you're standing up there and you're looking at Manila Luzon and Latrice Royale, and Latrice had just saved your ass, I mean,
you would have to be a
you'd have to be a stone cold bitch to get rid of Latrice.
Ain't gonna happen.
Well, I don't know what I would have done, honey.
Oh, Sophie's really?
Sophie's choice. Would you have been like Ben de la Creme and be like, I send myself home?
Hell no.
Yeah. Or somebody even said, send RuPaul home. And it's like, you can't send the host of the show home.
I would send one of the girls that was safe.
You'd have to have your. You have to get some whiteout. I think they banned whiteout, right?
So you can't have the whiteout anymore.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you can't write anybody else's name on there.
Well, honey, that's what makes it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is, it's like, no one seems to talk about the fact that, one, they're filming the girls picking up the lipsticks and sticking it into her boobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the producers, at the very least, know which person each queen chose. So when they choose the winner of the lip sync, effectively, they're also choosing who goes home because they know that already.
They sure do.
So it's not like RuPaul's like, oh my God, I'm so surprised that, you know.
And they might even tell the girls, like, these are the, you know, it's,
do this one.
You pick this. We don't know. You know what I mean? And it's like part of the thing is like, yeah, it's a reality TV show, but it's still a TV show and it's still entertainment.
I want to believe in the lies. Don't pop the bubble.
I just want to be appointed.
Miss All Stars at Large.
Maybe we can Miss Feast of Fun at Large.
Will you be the first pageant winner of the Feast of Fun pageant?
Yes. Will you appoint me?
You are considered done.
Miss Feast of Fun.
Mary Tatas.
Miss Stacey Lane Matthews, I Heart Wearing Sashes, 2019 at Large. Emeritus.
Mm-hmm. Before I go, I want to know. Yeah. Before I go, I want to know where you came up with the name
for Feast of Fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have a great answer for that, actually, and it has to do with history. So, Feast of Fun originally started as a drag queen musical variety show called Feast of Fools, and here in Chicago, we would ask musicians, drag queens, performers, comedians to come and perform in a different variety show venues. We did it in music venues, but one place we never did it at was in a gay bar. And anyways, we started
At Big Chicks.
We did. It did start out at Big Chicks. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. But we did it at like the Bailiwick Theater Company. We did it at Shuba's. We did it at Ha Mien, a Vietnamese banquet hall. And when we first started doing the podcast, we were doing a blog as a way to get people excited about coming to the drag shows. Mm-hmm. And so the podcast Feast of Fools first started out as a way to market and to cultivate an audience for the live shows. And then one thing led to the other, and now here we are.
What year was this?
We started our podcast in 2005. In February, right now, 14 years ago. And time marches on. Da, 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 da,
da, da. Well, congratulations, Heaney.
So I heard from Cece LaRouge, and she also says it's plus size girls or guys. So I swear to God, I think it was Kennedy Monroe and Tracy Tyler who told me that it, at large, just meant you were appointed. So
no,
okay.
And I'm going to add them.
And for this sound...
Is that your little whistle?
That's a like... Bwah, bwah. They really need to have a... Like when the price is right when the contestant loses.
No, the little rattlesnake on Drag Race.
That is the shade button.
Yeah.
That is one of the greatest sound effects.
Oh my God, they use it so much. It's like, oh fuck.
Yeah, you're like, oh, now I know how you want me to think about this.
I can't even do it.
I had something that sounded similar to it, but it wasn't close enough, and I was just like, oh, this is just not good. Penny darling, Stacey Lane Matthews. The Miss I Heart Wearing Sashes 2019 at large.
Feast of Fun Classic.
Emeritus.
Appointed
to at be large. For infinity and infinity.
Well, now we're going to have a pageant.
We just did.
Yes.
But no, we have to have one so she can pass on the soup can that we use as a crown.
Did you see the
cash prize of $5?
World of Wonder for a while they were doing the Wowie Awards.
They still do it, I think.
And they were giving out soup cans.
Soup cans, yeah. They still give them out.
No one, for years, no one ever opened them. And so they gave us one for the best podcast a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and we were really broke at the time.
So we opened up the can and ate the soup.
It was chicken noodle.
It wasn't really? Bad. It was, I think it was Campbell's. So it was good, high quality chicken noodle soup.
Mm-hmm.
Did you glue the top back on?
Yeah, it's sitting here.
Bottom's empty.
The bottom's empty, but you can't really tell that it's been eaten until you pick it up and you're like, oh, this is light.
Mm-hmm.
Cause if you know, a lot of the people who get those awards with the soup cans, the soups can actually spoil and explode in the can.
Mm.
It'll take about 30 years to do that, but you know,
mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think it's been around that long, honey.
Mm-hmm. Amen, honey. Oh, Stacey Lane Matthews, it's so good kicking with you, darling. I miss you so much. Every time I see you, you always give me the best hugs.
Aww. Yes, I love hugs.
And you love me. And I love you.
I love you, too. And
we'll look forward to seeing you more on TV coming up soon.
Maybe this Friday. I don't know. We'll see.
Next time you're in Chicago, come over and we'll make some buffalo wings with lots of ranch dressing.
Cooking with Henny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, you do need some honey in when you make buffalo wings.
Yes. Henny. And some hot sauce.
Honey, yeah. What's your favorite hot sauce?
Texas Pete.
Oh. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, I've been getting into eating buffalo wings at home, and so, you know. Mm-hmm. Okay, darling, we had to cut. The producer's giving us the... cut it. So good talking to you.
Good talking love to you, darling.
All right, I love you guys.
Where do you live right now?
I'm in North Carolina still.
The city.
Lumberton.
Thank you so much, Stacey Lane Matthews.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you, guys.
Bye. Mwah.
Stacey Lane Matthews lives in Lumberton, North Carolina. Wow. She used to be in Back Swamp. Now she's in Lumberton.
You can see her on this season of RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 4, making several cameo appearances.
You can still catch her episodes on the iTunes App Store. So check it out.
And you can listen to our interview with her way back in 2011 if you are a Plus subscriber. And you can become a Plus subscriber at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen. Right now, we need your help putting out podcasts and videos, but our dear computer can't take it anymore, and it's ready to go to the great big recycling bin in the sky.
The computer said, enough of this! I quit! And just smoke started coming out, and it's just like, the battery started swelling, it grew a little pair of legs, and walked out, and took a hammer and started hitting itself on the head. So we're kind of right now using the neighbor's computer.
Mm-hmm. And so our goal is to raise $3,500, and right now we're at $2,640, and that money has been raised by 22 people. Now, thousands of people listen to this podcast, but 22 people have so far come forward and said, I believe in what you guys do. I believe in the quality of the program. I love the videos. I love the podcast. Let's keep these going. And so the other day, we released the names of all the people that have donated so far. And since then, Javier has also donated. And our guests from yesterday's show, Alina Cole and Jorge Sanchez, both also donated too. So it's incredible.
As well as Dylan, Jonathan, Lucas, Jake, Cody, Reed, Mark, Tom, and many other fantastic people. Thomas, Yvonne, Pete, Damon, L. Jacobs, Mike Rickard, Tom Goss, Matthew, Larry LaFontaine, Curtis Jensen, Rochelle, Christopher Ramos, and Alex, thank you guys so much for getting us to this point. It really is very humbling. It's very moving. We would not be here without your specific help, and you guys make a huge difference in our ability to talk to artists about their lives.
We really couldn't do it without you guys, and it really means everything to us.
So if people want to make a donation, get us to our goal of $3,500 in the next week, how can they do so?
Go to gofundme.com/feastoffuncomputer.
And any money that actually goes over the goal, it would be going to a hard drive. We do need to replace the hard drive as well. And on top of that, I would love to have a low depth of field lens that allows more light in to allow us to take better photos of the guests that when they do come in. So definitely every penny that you put in there goes right back into ensuring that Feast of Fun is around for years to come. Thank you guys so much for listening. And thanks for listening to Stacey Lane Matthews and Mark go head to head about what the term at large really means.
Ooh, and the tea she said about that break in season 3. Mimi?
I don't know what really
I'm
happened.
I'm calling you.
Shangela.
Well, Shangela wouldn't, but Shangela didn't say anything. Mimi told us a fib, or maybe she didn't.
Or what else? Maybe that's the cover story. Yeah. We don't know.
We don't know.
Because also Lady Bunny in Let's I want to have a kai kai also alludes to the fact that they took a break because of RuPaul's health condition. So it's not just Mimi on First Show, also to that Lady Bunny also put out that information and Bianca Del Rio. So we don't really know. So it is still up in the air, folks. But thanks for much for you, Nancy Drews, to get the bottom of the mysteries that we uncover and sometimes solve, or just things make more complicated on Feast of Fun. Thanks for listening.
Bye bye.
Thank you.